Menstrual synchrony, that sounds nice. Menstrual synchrony is often reported by all female living groups and by mothers, daughters, and sisters who are living together. But is this real? Is this a pheromone issue? Is that even a thing in human biology? There's some animal studies that may say so, but is there really biological signaling that's happening here? So the answer may actually surprise you. We're going to get to that. So how does all this work, or does it work at all? And what's the male effect in this? That's a whole separate issue that we're going to talk about in this episode. But this is nothing new, guys. We're going to talk about the origin of this and where this actually came from. The topic of menstrual synchronization is still getting its share of publications, like as recent as November 2023. Y'all, that's just this last fall, and we're going to review that publication. Yep, we're going to get into this fun episode, and we're also going to talk about the dreaded Q word in any hospital ward. What is that? You all know that. Oh, it's so nice and tranquil. It's so quiet. That's a quick way of getting thrown out of the unit. But is that really a thing? Can you all believe there is an RCT? There's level one evidence that has actually studied the effect of the Q word, the quiet word, on hospital production and patient work through. Yeah, we're going to check out both of these topics with a special co-host. I'll tell you who that is coming up next. Just trying to keep everyone up to date on evidence-based practice because medicine moves real fast. This is Clinical Pearls.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So before we start, just a random question with one of our undergraduate pre-med seniors. Junior. Dang it, she just told me that. I already messed that up. So I'm here with Emily, and I'm here with Lily, who's also pre-health. She's pre-PA, so I got pre-med and pre-PA. But a quick question with no prompting. Have I asked you anything before this?
No.
So let me ask you, if you have a roommate, let's say you have three female roommates. Okay, not making any decisions. Oh, she no. She said, I do. Weird. Is it possible for you to menstrually sync with y'all? Like, all of, oh my gosh, you all just start menstruating at the same time without birth control. Just don't think about it too much. Yes or no?
No.
Oh, okay. I have a no. Lily, same question. Let's say you have three roommates. How many roommates do you have?
I have six.
Six? Are they all female? Oh my goodness. Well, God bless you. So on that separate note, is it possible? Have you heard of this?
Yes, it's happened.
Okay, so hold on. So I got one. Emily is no. And then let me get Lily to the mic. Lily, can menstrual syncing happen?
Yes.
Ooh, controversy. So that's going to be our episode for today. All right, everybody, here we go. Everybody, you know that we often do this on the fly. We are definitely not in studio because both me and my co-host are on call today. So I want to introduce you to a resident who I, for some reason, all this academic year have totally messed up. But this is a good thing because when you're so good that you think that this resident is like about to leave, I've been introducing her as our senior resident. She still has one more year, y'all. Y'all get this? That's a good problem to have. When I think that you're about to leave, and I introduced Dr. Taylor Apley to somebody else who was shadowing with us. Said, oh, she's our senior. She'll be leaving soon. She's like, Dr. Chapa, I still have another year. I'm like, that's a good problem to have for us. But you want to be mistaken for a senior when you still have one year to go. So I want to introduce you to Dr. Taylor Apley, who is co-host for this. And what a nice problem, huh? Wouldn't you like to be confused with somebody like a year ahead and you're not even there yet? I think that's a good problem to have. Dr. Apley, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Chapa. Excited to be on the podcast.
Alrighty, so menstrual synchronization. This has also been called the McClintock effect or the Wesley effect. This has been around for a long time, and like Dr. Chapa said, it's still getting studied as recent as November 2023. In the journal Family Medicine and Primary Care, researchers studied menstrual syncing in medical students. How about that? So this was a prospective observational study comprising 62 female medical students, average age of 22 years, living in a twin sharing accommodation with a history of regular menses somewhere around 26 to 32 days. So these participants were followed on a monthly basis for 13 months. Menstrual cycle history was obtained using a standardized Google form, and as they tracked their cycles, the researchers concluded that long-term association between roommates has potential to cause menstrual cycle synchrony. It was significant implications in reproductive medicine for reproductive scheduling. Okay, why not? Could this simply just be math? We'll explain that here in a little bit. But first, where did this all start? Yes, there are anecdotal stories, for sure, but to get to the scientific basis of this, we have to go back to 1971 when Martha McClintock published her observational study in Nature. So yes, others had written about this phenomenon before, but this researcher took a more scientific approach.
So do y'all get this? And that stressing of observational study by Dr. Apley was not accidental. Because yeah, you guys know, look, observational studies have a great place. But observational studies, guys, how many times have we said this on this show? It proves association, but not what? Causation, right? So that's the catch. I can observe anything and go, oh, these two are linked. Causation is separate than association. Y'all, since 1971, just like Dr. Apley said, when this first got officially scientifically studied by Dr. McClintock, okay? So I'm not knocking that publication. It was in a fantastic journal called Nature. Nature's up there in the print hierarchy. But just because it's in print, and guys, we do a lot of things in print ourselves, you got to look, again, holistically, because that publication from the fall of 2023, clearly there's an association. Is there, though? Is there? So we're going to get into this a little bit, but let me just briefly talk to you about the McClintock study, which is also called the Wesleyan study because it was out of that university. You know where that university is, Dr. Abbott? Where is Wesleyan?
I actually do not know.
So Northeast, it's in Massachusetts. Okay. Historically all female. I actually don't know if it's all female still, but that's the idea. It was all female, hence this dorm. So it was done in a single dorm study. 135 was the N. Super easy. Okay. So it basically, without getting too much into the study design, because it's kind of boring, hey, ask these girls, these students who are living together, do your periods end up syncing? It only works, of course, if they're not on contraception, right, and birth control. And lo and behold, oh, yes, we did it. We have synced ourselves, proving, without a doubt, that pheromones are real. No, that's not what it proved. But this is the idea, 1971. And I'm going to give you an interesting non-scientific way to reason this out, because there is actually a math model that we're going to talk about in a minute. But we've all tested this at a red light with blinkers. Now, if you're like, what the hell does that mean? I'm going to get to it, but I'm telling you, we think about a red light, think about people in a turning lane, and think about blinkers. And that's going to make sense in a minute. See, I may have spilled it already, but anyway. All right, Dr. Apley, let's get back there.
Alrighty. So is there really something there or not? So after this study, several papers were published reporting methodological flaws in this study and others that were noting, like Dr. Chapa said, nothing more than random occurrence, just up to chance. So many subsequent publications have served to dismantle this notion of period synchronization.
Right.
Okay, so we clearly know that the cycle is not tied to the moon phases, right? I mean, full moon yesterday means nothing, but there it is. So some follow-up studies have found no link to lunar cycles or the pheromone theory for menstrual right. synchronicity. So in 2017, researchers from the University of Oxford used the period tracker app Clue, gathered data with permission from users regarding reporting and syncing, and found no basis to the synchroning theory.
So whether it is pheromones or the moon cycles, no, guys, biology, come on, let's give ourselves credit. We're much more complicated than that. Now, are pheromones a thing? Absolutely. Insects use pheromones. They do. And thankfully, we don't, because nobody would come to work. Like, there's something in the air. See, Taylor, I've already lost it. And so for all of you to know, because we're actually in a car room, it's me and Dr. Apley. And I have two undergrads with us. You heard them in the other intro. I have Lily and I have Emily. And so they're seeing how the sausage is made. So, AKA the podcast. But isn't this interesting? So, yes, pheromones are real. And it's actually a big commercial thing, Dr. Apley. Have you seen this? Because there's some perfumes. There's Eau de Toilettes. Yep. That's the male colognes, right? Yep. Like Sauvage. I like the Sauvage commercial.
They always have the weirdest commercials.
Yeah, and Johnny Depp, right? I was like, I want to go buy some of that just because I want to say, guess what I'm wearing today? Sauvage. This is the kind of crap we do on the episode. Okay, so where was I? Oh, yeah, okay, so the Clue app. So no financial disclosures. There is an app called Clue. You can menstruate. It's free, I think. And they asked over 1,500 women, hey, you're using this app. Would you mind using your de-identified information for women pairs, especially if you live with another woman? So this is global, by the way. But think about it. This is still causing controversy because of that daggone 1971 paper. And Clue figured out not only was there not a syncing issue, or not only was it not related to moon cycles, they actually found that their cycles diverged. They became more irregular. So while some, yes, there were some episodes of syncing, the majority is it was totally coincidental. And there is actually a math model that we're going to get into next. So Dr. Apley, tell us about this menstrual math, or the rule of probability that we're probably looking at here.
So diving into the menstrual math, so Beverly Strassman published the math model here for menstrual syncing. So she calculated the mathematical probability that periods would overlap just due to coincidence rather than due to synchronization of pheromones or moon cycles or whatever else it might be. Proposed by McClintock and Stern. So to break it down simply, just because a period cycle on average is about 28 days, the farthest time frame between two women that will be asynchronous is 14 days, meaning that this is the farthest time frame there will be absolutely no overlap between their periods. So on average, the time frame would be around 7 or so days. 14 is simply the extreme end of things. But because periods last 5 days on average, it's quite likely that periods will overlap, suggesting that overlapping periods is a result of coincidence supported by mathematical probability rather than biological period synchronization.
So I know what you're thinking. Boo! It's not true. I know what happens. It does. So that's why I said the answer will surprise you. So can menstrual periods sync up among women? Absolutely, because it's random probability. But does it do it because of a biological signaling? No. If you're interested where that Strassman paper was published, it was back in 1999 in a very well-respected journal. It's a Human Reproduction. We've covered that journal several times on the episode. All to say, guys, it is totally possible, but probably not a biological issue, but there is something super creepy, Dr. Apley, that I want you to get into, called the male effect. And so for our undergrads, this is kind of creepy and a little gross, okay? It's weird. But this is also an observation called the male effect that I want to get into. But before I do that, very quickly, the whole issue on the blinking lights or the blinker story, all right? This has actually been checked with several publications and several protocols that have looked at oscillating lights, right? Randomly set. And the easiest way to kind of put this into perspective is you're at a red light. Think about it, y'all. And you see blinkers. And those are randomly set. Those are set by ignition electric switches. What happens if you sit long enough at the light? Those blinkers will sync. And you're like, cool. And I look for that. You're like, yes. And then 10 seconds later, they go out of sync. That is the menstrual math model in everyday practice. Y'all get that? So can it happen? Absolutely. I see that frequently, but it's random chance. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. Why don't we process that? Take a deep breath. And then we're going to get into the creepy stuff because Dr. Apley is just nipping at the heels to get into the male effect. Here we go, coming up next. Thank you for being part of our podcast family. We really are grateful and thankful that you've chosen to take this journey of medical education with us. You're listening to Clinical Pearls.
Alrighty, so jumping into the male effect. So this is typically used to describe a phenomenon among non-human animals, so baboons, mice, sheep, deer, cattle, in which the introduction of an unrelated adult male causes prepubertal females to menstruate and reach puberty earlier.
Weird.
Very weird. So although researchers have rarely used the term with humans, a similar effect is found for girls who've had stepfathers, mom's boyfriend, unrelated father figures living with them. And so in a study of children of twins conducted by Mendel and colleagues back in 2006, girls with stepfathers or who lived with an unrelated adult male reached menarche earlier.
Ew.
Very interesting to see. Plus an earlier study that tested both biological father absence and stepfather presence found that the latter was a better predictor of early menarche among girls who were separated from their biological fathers.
Wow. So that's the male effect. And that was a little bit, actually, even the McClintock paper, 1971, showed that there was a subset analysis in those college students at Wesleyan who hung out with males or their boyfriends or were half the time kind of cohabitating with them, and they had shorter menstrual cycles. So this is why this whole idea of pheromones, guys, and social signaling, this is why this is around, because there's stuff, I got to be honest, there's stuff we can't explain. That's weird. Now, the biological thought from this, from a lot of the psychology journals, are that the male effect likely has to do with some kind of psychological stress, nothing negative. Again, that relationship, that stepdad, mom's boyfriend, or whatever, could be the best in the world. It's not that. It's that somehow that child is interpreting that as non-biological male, some kind of maybe even subconscious stress, and that triggers the hypothalamic pituitary ovarian axis. So the male effect is the opposite of the female effect, which causes sinking. This causes dysregulation and or hypermenstruation or menarche earlier. Ew, I just think that's so weird. And guys, Dr. Apley, in identical twins, so same genetic info, one will signal, will start earlier, kept constant with BMI. So super weird. Okay, so all to say, there's stuff that we can't explain. Is it the idea of signaling or pheromones? Likely not, but there are things that are in play. But let's be honest here, as medical education, cycles are typically not linked to the moon, even though they're called menstrual cycles because of the lunar phases. That's originally how it was done back in the old Greek times. But I think we put that to bed. What do you think?
I think so.
Now, let's get on to the second issue. I love this. I like going into L&D and just messing with them because I believe in science. Was it Member Nacho Libre? You're mad at me because I believe in science. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you have to see it, not a sponsor. every time I have to say something, I have to say it's not a sponsor. But because at some point, guys, we're scientists. We're in academic medicine. Saying a word probably is not going to trigger the fates of the universe, okay? I'm just, who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. But as of right now, yeah, using the word Q, which is a complete taboo when things are quiet, if you believe it or not, has actually been studied by level one evidence. I can't do this. I need Apley to do it. All right, Dr. Apley, take us to it.
Alrighty, so jumping into the Q word superstition, like Dr. Chapa said, there is an RCT on this for real. So the reference is Geller, and they looked at the use of the word quiet in the emergency department and looked to see if it was associated with patient volume and how busy the ER got on those nights. And so the study was a Rutgers IRB-approved randomized controlled trial from June 9th of 2021 to July 23rd of 2021 at the Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital.
Great
ER. Yeah, so level 3 tertiary center, level 1 trauma center. They have over 70,000 adult patient visits per year. It's a busy place. 400 plus staff members of the ER were surveyed, with some responding multiple times for a total of 506 surveys collected.
So a couple of notes here, Dr. Apley. One, this is out of Rutgers, a respected medical site and a historic institution. Do they have nothing else to study? I mean, really, guys, I'm going to put you to the IRB, the word quiet in the hospital. And somebody said, I think there's scientific merit for that. So again, Geller, thank you for the publication, because now we've killed a good folklore. But man, surely I can find at least a dozen other things to study. And this was out of the ER. So look, I don't want to get into all of this, the whole methods and materials here, because the short of it is they randomized people walking through the unit and saying, oh, it's so quiet here versus not. And then taking a survey afterwards about anywhere from 4 hours to 12 hours later to see if that had an effect. So literally voicing bad mojo into the room. Okay. And so what do you think? Obviously, that caused chaos, right? I mean, we all know that that's going to happen. No. Guess what happened? Pretty much nothing, Dr. Apley.
Yeah, so you might make a few enemies instead of friends, but cutting to the chase, the use of the word quiet was not associated with increased patient volumes or the perception of increased patient volumes either, unless a staff member had a pre-existing belief that the word quiet does influence your perception of volumes in the ER.
Ooh, no, I love what they did here because they ended their last statement on this publication, which, guys, it was in, like, in the 70s or the 80s, 2022, so relatively recent. And I love this because this is the take-home message here. We all have biases. I did this for a conference, Dr. Abley, some years ago for something about inherent bias, and somebody stood up like, I'm offended that you said I have biases. Well, you just saying that proved you have biases. Hello, we all have it because we're human. And so here's the catch. If somebody said that, you've already been biased. Is that going to trigger you treating a patient adversely? And so I love this. Listen to what they stated as their last sentence. We're going to wrap this up. They stated, quote, future directions, in other words, future investigations, include assessing if this perception by the healthcare team affects the state of mind of the staff and whether there's any negative implications on patient care, end quote. In other words, man, just do your job. And we've covered this many times. Oh, it's a full moon. We just talked about this with our team because, y'all, I can't even get into it. It's been, some hard emotional stuff on our shift. And somebody, one of the nurses said, oh, it's because it's a full moon. I just walked away. It's a full moon. Well, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's called observer bias. I'm telling you guys, we're more complicated as human beings in our biology and our physiology than the lunar cycle. All right, Taylor, let's take it home.
Alrighty, thanks all for having me on the podcast. It's been great being here, and I hope your periods be regular and your nights be quiet.
Oh, boom, there you go. All right, thankfully I still have one more year with Dr. Apley. Y'all think about that. How many residents have you mistaken for a senior when they still got one more year left? I'm telling you, that's the kind of program we have here. All right, let's take it home. All right, podcast family, that brings us to a wrap. As always, we're thankful for you, and we're glad you're part of our podcast community. We'll see you on another episode of Clinical Pearls.